I am so thankful to see people here today, primarily because when the pastor's away, sometimes people just say, you know what, I don't necessarily need to go in today. And really, if it was just the AV team and my family, I think they would all just say, let's bag it for today. So thank you for coming today. I was really blessed this morning at Sabbath School when Dave Espinoza shared some of the things that he went through when coming to this country. And he shared that, you know, there was a really frustrating time. He felt like it was wasted time. And then as he finished his story, it hit me that the wasted time that he thought he did was really the learning time that he needed to bring somebody else around. And he said, he's quoted from the Bible saying, consider it pure joy when trials come your way, because it takes the persistence of faith. It really touched me because I think nowadays we often think, oh, you know what? I'm not always winning, I'm getting beaten down. There's a lot of things going on. And it is difficult in this day and age to really feel like you're doing much of anything other than just arguing. I apologize to everybody for not being here over the past month. I was hoping the elders wouldn't come out to rescue me. But I was back in Minnesota. The church there asked me to step in as there's a transition with the pastors. And so I have stepped in and been there for the last 4 weeks. But I'm very glad to be here today. And I'm so thankful that you're here. One of the things that COVID did that was great was making us be more technology savvy in terms of getting the streaming services. The downside of that is that we've got streaming services, and so people don't always need to come to church. And I really believe in my heart that just like a family, we need to get together once a week. We need to come together to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to learn more about each other. And no matter where I go and the churches that I preach in, I always ask people, do you over here know the people over here? And vice versa. And I can honestly say that where we came from in Minnetonka, first service and second service, people didn't know each other. The far group over here didn't know over here, because we tend to sit in our same places. And so one of the things that I've been talking about in Minnetonka is we need to get to know each other, because so often we disagree with people or we don't want to associate with them. And it's just because we're in our own little worlds. And so I encourage people, think about helping people, understanding people. Because when I see churches and people going through challenging times, I realize that Satan values that person because he's trying to convert that person or that church to divisiveness. If everything is going hunky-dory in a church, that means that something is not really right. The division coming together, Satan is going to work in the churches that are moving forward. And coming out of that, people and the churches will be stronger. They'll be on fire more, and that's what we need to do. Today's message is built to God's specs. Throughout the Bible, God gave specific recommendations, instructions to people on how to build things, what to do, and how to live. Now, God is all powerful, so technically he doesn't need us. But why does he give us instructions? Why? And my thought is because he wants us to experience the joy of helping others and of helping to finish his work here on earth. As the Bible says, many are called, few are chosen. But those who God chooses need to be willing to step up and help. And this came to me recently, about a year and a half ago, before we moved here. I was concerned about some of the things in the church that we went to, and I prayed to God, and I said, look, use me in any way you want me. Use me in any way you want me. And I found out that you need to be very careful when you ask God that, okay? Because you have no idea, right? You just have no idea we moved here, and then the church called, and they said, Doug, we want you to come in and be a lay pastor, which I'm not a pastor. I just want to say that for the record. But we need you to fill in while our pastors are you know, while we replace the pastors because they've gone. And I thought at first, I thought, okay, well, okay. And then I was a little bit overwhelmed. My wife said, this isn't going to go well. You know, she does know what she's talking about. And I thought, am I really up for this? And then I heard in the back of my head a voice that said, you said that you would be available for whatever I have for you. And I thought, okay. And then I thought, well, you're asking me to like preach 4, 6, 8 weeks. I'm usually good for one message and then, you know, give me some downtime. But then I really felt like God told me, he says, this is what I've been preparing you for over 50 years. Yeah, I'm over 50, just in case you were wondering. And to me, I thought, you know, I'll do it. I'll do it. And you know, it has helped me to grow as a Christian. It has helped open my eyes to some things that I didn't see before. And everything that I've experienced over the past 6 weeks with the church that we were members of for about 10 years has really hit me and really made me think about what have I done over the years? Have I lived up to what God has for me? And so my message today is really about following God's instructions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for bringing us here today as a church family. Lord, I ask that you please use your Holy Spirit to speak through me, and may the Holy Spirit come into the lives of everybody here and people online. May they hear what you want them to hear. In your name I ask, amen. So, if we turn in our Bibles to Genesis 6, 12 to 17, I'm going to read from the New International Version. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people on earth, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around, and put a door on the side of the ark, and make lower, middle, and upper decks. Because I'm going to bring floodwaters on earth to destroy all life under the heavens, and every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. So God asked Noah to build this big boat, gave specific instructions, and Noah was going to build this thing for some event that he had no idea as to what was going to happen. He heard flood, he heard waters. But up until then, there really hadn't been any rain. I mean, it was dew from the ground. So, okay, why did God tell him how big to build it? Remember, Noah was preaching to people during this time of building, 120 years. And I always wondered, if people were free to choose to go into Noah's ark, why wasn't the ark built bigger? And it's because God knew what people would choose well before Noah finished the ark. And it's interesting to me that Noah was begging people to come on board, the workmen and everything that was working on the ark, and yet they said, not today. I don't want to go on to the ark. The size of the ark, interestingly, when I checked it out, the boats of today, the ships of today, are still built on the ratio that God gave Noah so long ago. So he said, build this ark and make the different decks on the ark. The animals were going to come in. And Noah's like, okay, but how much food do we need? How long am I going to be on there? He didn't know any of this, but he relied on God's word to help him understand what was going to come. He didn't ask questions. He didn't say, why me? He didn't say, you know what, go and ask somebody else. I'm a little tired today. No. He said, okay. In this morning's Sabbath school, we talked about Abraham saying, okay, not questioning God, but rather stepping up and doing what God asked without questions, even though you don't understand it. And that's what Noah did. People were ridiculing him. We don't like to be ridiculed. We don't like to be wrong. I think if somebody were to go out and stand out on the street corner and say, I'm going to build an ark because there's going to be a flood, we would look at them as a little crazy. In fact, several weeks ago, my family, we were up at Wisconsin Dells, and we're walking down the sidewalk, and there's a sidewalk preacher there. I did take his picture, but I didn't put it up here. And he was preaching that it was the end of the world, and God is going to destroy everything. And I had to stop and talk to him. And Derek was embarrassed, saying, Dad, come on, come on. I'm like, no, let's talk to him. And he said, religion is really bad. You don't need, give up the evil religion and worship God. I'm thinking, you know, I think people who are going to church, they tend to worship God, unless of course it's a different faith outside of Christianity. And I talked to him, and he gave me this card, and I was like, okay, I'm going to pray for you. It's interesting when you hear people on the street corners preaching and saying different things that so many people ridicule them, instead of looking at them and realizing one very important fact: God created them. That person is built to God's specs just like we are. Throughout the Bible, there are many, many times and many, many things that God tells us to build, or that God told them, the people to build. For instance, the Ark of the Covenant gave specific instructions for the Ark of the Covenant. The most holy place, the temple, specific instructions. And everybody recognizes, or should recognize, the Ten Commandments. I'll tell you what, the Ten Commandments are not suggestionments. They're not recommendationments. They're commandments. They're commandments. And they're there to help us lead a better life. When God created the earth, he gave just one instruction: don't eat of the tree, don't eat the fruit on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we couldn't even obey that one. So then he had 10 other rules. And then, because the Israelites kept messing up and they wanted to be their own nation, he actually gave them like 620 rules. I mean, I tried to read Leviticus. I'm still struggling with that because there's so many things in there. God gives us instructions on how to lead a better life. One of my favorite instructions is with Jericho, the walls of Jericho. Everybody remembers the story, right? God says, hey, Joshua, I want you to take the army, and I want you to take the priest, and I want you to take the ark and just walk around once each day. On the seventh day, walk around seven times. Now, God had armies in front. He gave specific instructions that the priest with the horns were supposed to be next, then the ark, and then armies in the rear. So you had armies on either end. You had the ark, and you had the priest. When I look at that story, I think one of the insights that I see is when God is in the center of our lives, victory is ours. We need to have God as the center in our lives. He put the Ark of the Covenant in the center and the walls of Jericho came down.
When we look to say, you know what, how should I live my life? I'm gonna go and just say this. This book right here, number one bestseller of all time, number one bestseller year over year by far, will give us the ability to navigate through any challenges in our lives. The people in this book that are mentioned lived their life and they had a life of significance. We learn from them. People aren't gonna be talking about me 1,000 years or even 100 years from now. They're not gonna talk about me. We are still reading stories that are applicable to us today. But we have to be ready. We have to open the Bible. There's a country song that says there might be a little dust on the Bible, and so often we have our Bibles sitting at home and they are collecting dust. We come to church and yes, we read the Bible on our electronics, right? With my dad being a preacher, I can always tell you there were two things that were mandatory every Sabbath. One was I had to have my Bible. The other is I had to have an offering. Nowadays we give online. That's great, awesome. But I'm a little bit troubled in that I pay my mortgage online. I don't think about it. I pay my electric online. I don't think about it. When we just only rely on our online giving, it takes away the appreciation that we show to God, even if we just put a quarter in the plate. I mean, really, when you come to church and you're willing to go in, you think about that as opposed to having it just done automatically. But that's another story. So why does God give us such detailed instructions? Here's why. He created us. He created us. We are the only creatures, if you will, that God got down on his hands and knees and formed us in the dirt. We are the only life that he brought to life by giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. We are the only life that he said, let us make man in our own image. Don't you think that our Creator that gave us life knows how we should live to have life more abundantly? Now, Christ gives us the ability to overcome obstacles. But he doesn't say your life is going to be blissful. You're going to be eternally happy. That's not going to happen here on earth. He doesn't shield us from problems. In fact, what he does is any problems you go through, you start to learn from. And your faith grows stronger and stronger. We learn and we grow from what God has, so that we can have what God has planned for us. He doesn't shield us. Instead, he's there walking in the fire with us, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were standing in front of that fiery furnace, they had no idea that once they stepped in, they wouldn't burn. I will say this. If I was there in front of a fire and I was going to have to be put in, I would go kicking and screaming. I would try to fight my way. There is no way I would want to go into the fire. And yet, God was there with them. And through that event, people saw that fourth person in the fire, and they saw the three come out without anything being singed. That was a testimony in and of itself to the Almighty God. So when Christ came, all of these rules were out there. And there's, when I Googled this, I did find out that there's about 1,050 other rules in the New Testament, or commands that were given in the New Testament. I was gonna bring them, but I figured that might run us over time and people don't like that. At least I didn't when my dad was a pastor and I would be sitting there getting hungry. But here's what I wanna say. Christ came here and he simplified it for us. He simplified all of these rules when he said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And I would venture to say we need to love our neighbors better
than we love ourselves. Because sometimes we're really down on ourselves. We're like, I'm not really happy today. The instructions in the best-selling book will give us our, what will help us on our journey to our final destination of heaven. We are built to God's specifications. We are built for a purpose, and we are built for significance. This was a series that I was preaching in Minnetonka over the past 4 weeks, because it's not just good enough to be built to God's specifications. We have to know what our purpose is. We have to believe that He wants us to be significant. He created us. Why wouldn't He want us to be unbelievably significant? Now, people say, oh, success, you know, we need to shun that. No, we don't. But God just doesn't want us to be successful. He wants us to be significant. He wants us, if the Bible were written today for 5,000 years from now, what would it say about you? What would it say about me? Would we even be included? Do we listen to God and what He says? So, the Bible is the key tool. If we go by the Bible, we will in fact be significant because we will have an impact on people's lives. It's important, no matter how small, what small thing you do, to make a difference in somebody's life. A couple of weeks ago, Derek and I were in Minnetonka, and we went for breakfast. It was the free breakfast at the hotels, or as my wife says, the breakfast that was included in the price of your hotel, right? We go down there, and we have breakfast, and the lady serving us, she, you know, we'd had the buffet, and she brought orange juice, and so she says, okay, you have this certificate, so you don't need to pay. And I said, well, okay, that's fine, but bring me the bill. And she says, you don't understand. Your bill has been paid. Okay, but I want to leave you a tip. And for once, I've gone, you know, I had to pay all the cash that I had to a tow truck to get me there, but that's another story. And she says, really? And I said, yeah, why wouldn't I tip you? And she said that it's just not done. I don't know if that made a difference in her life. You know, I mean, it's a tip. She gave us great service. It's a way of saying thank you. But I have to believe that her being so startled and surprised that she probably didn't get that all too often. She didn't get an offer that says, okay, I'm going to ring you a zero balance check and then have a tip written in. Friends, we are put on this earth to help others, to help each other, to build each other up. Our Bible, which is the manual of how we can best live, is a great way for us to stay focused. Now, I have a question. Do you guys like cars? Do you like cars? A Tesla is on my list of dream cars, but only if I've got a short distance to go. Okay? Anybody like Legos? Yeah? Like, okay, who said yes? Can you build me a car?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't know.
There's plenty of parts in here. You got big ones, you got little ones. You even have some that are pre-put together. You don't know how, though. Okay. Here's something for you. How about if I show you how? Here's the thing. In my day, Legos were basic. No instructions needed. You just did it freestyle. Nowadays, there are two manuals just to put something that has about 4,000 pieces together. I have no patience. Thankfully, Derek does, and so does Robert. Robert built a nice big rocket that stands about this high, but it's a little too fragile to bring in. Derek has built a lot of things using these manuals. Putting things together. Bet y'all thought this was like Communion? Yeah. No, not me. We are built to God's specifications. Each one of us has a different set of talents and skills and passions. Some people want to be the really sporty car, but if you want to take a family of four in that, it doesn't really work. Cops kind of frown when you put kids in the trunk. Others of us can inspire people to get on the bus with us. Let's do this. Let's work together and get things accomplished that we need to. Other people like the open air and wind going through their hair. I have very little of that, but when I did have a motorcycle, I had a lot more hair, and there was nothing like it. You could smell the smells. And still others like to go off-roading in their trucks and jeeps. Each one of us here is built to God's specifications. When we interact with people day in and day out, we need to recognize that no matter our differences, and this has really been very clear over the past 7-8 years, especially with all of the digital media and social platforms and, oh, not a little bit of controversy in Washington, D.C. We can disagree on things, but let's not make it personal. And instead of just saying, oh, let it go, I'm not going to talk to them, sit down, listen to people, try to understand their perspective. Dave from Columbia is going to have a different perspective than somebody from Wisconsin or somebody from the South. We need to understand each other, to help each other, to encourage each other, because God has a use for everybody, every one of us here today. God wants to use us in whatever we do, wherever we go. He wants us to be a shining light on the hill. God is calling you and me today. We may be just a heap of Legos sitting there, right? Beautifully, let's put it together. Guess what? God can help pick up those pieces and create an amazing thing that will take us where we will go farther than we ever thought we would go. We would have an impact on people's lives more so than we ever had hoped or even dreamed of. We're handmade by God, and we were then bought for a price because we messed it up. Blood had to be shed for us, even though we were built to God's specifications. No matter what challenges we as people, as a church, as a community, as a nation and world, no matter what we are going through, it's nothing compared to the extent of what Jesus went through for us here on earth. Coming down as a perfect being, standing up to the ridicule, and being willing to shed blood for us, even if it means only one person will be in heaven. Only 8 people were in the ark. Jesus was willing to shed his blood for just one person. Friends, today, as we leave here, I want to say, now is the time to say, I'm here, Lord, call me. Help me to see what you have for me, because I can't see it. Take a stand. God is calling you today. But here's the thing, it's your choice. The door of the ark is open and it's your choice. We need to step up and let God, who's given us the talents, who's created us, let him help us to accomplish amazing things. And by doing this, we will be able to honor Christ's last command, and that is to go and tell the world about him. Thank you.